We attempted, what, the 2 years ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, to get into Proverbs, and things changed in my life that I couldn't stay up here and finish it out. But so I'm going to start all over again with in the first part of Proverbs, and it might be a rehashing to some of you that if you can remember that the wisdom that we tried to give out here about 2 or 3 years ago. Who wants wisdom in their life? Right, give me a good reason you want some wisdom. God's wisdom that I'm talking about. There are two kinds of wisdom. Godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. We're talking about godly wisdom. Yeah, Brian?
My way is the hard way. I'd rather have wisdom and do it a whole lot easier way.
It will provide an easier way for you. What else? Why else would we want God's wisdom?
Isn't our Father wants a foolish son?
Huh?
Isn't our Father in the world that takes glory in a foolish son?
Raising children, number one. Then that's repeated over and over and over in Proverbs. How about another reason?
Draw closer to God.
Draw closer. If you're doing His will, you're certainly drawing closer to Him.
To have better relationships
with neighbors, your friends, family,
but also with God.
Oh, yeah. Everybody you come in contact with. Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, they all can't be in Proverbs. I'm going to tell you, Proverbs is God's mindset. It's how He wants us to interact with the other children of His on this earth. And if you can get into His mindset, if you can understand, when we are born, from the time we start achieving or getting things into our member bank, it's all based on earthly mindsets, on what the world is, what your parents knew, what they've been taught, what you finally, when you start seeing things and looking at them, it's what you're seeing as a little child, what's out there in the world. And you see the world in mindset. And you consequently, our whole nature is made up of what the world does and what, the way we see it. Some of it's good. Most of it we perceive in the world as we grow up is not good for us. So what we're going to try to do is get God's mindset. And that's going to require us. And God will repeat Himself many times. And I really believe that's why He repeats Himself, because He knows we're hard-headed. And there are things that will bounce off of us. Some things don't even go in. But then some things will go right on straight through. He wants us to understand, I think this is important. You know, I think this is important. So I'm going to repeat it to you. Some of them as much as 7, 8, 9 times He'll repeat. But God's spiritual mindset will, and we went back to the relationships a while ago, between a mother and a father, a sister and a brother, our neighbors, how to interact with our neighbors, how a husband and wife relationship should be, the relationship between children and parents, employee and employer. God will tell you how that relationship should be and how you should, how you, what's your part in participating in that between the boss and the worker. I would like to think that as we've gone through life, at some point we've gone to where we're giving out, not orders, but we're giving out directions and then we take on a different responsibility. He talked to us about gossip. He talks to us about whispering. He talks to us about lies. He'll talk to us about cheating, whether that be cheating in business or whether that be cheating in life. He talks about our debts and our borrowing and our lending. And you're probably not going to like what he has to say about that, because some of us, including me, have been guilty of abusing that. He talks to us even about whispering. He doesn't want you going around whispering about other people, of things. He even covers the winking of the eyes. You know that? Remember back in my day, that was something. You wink your eye. When God talked to you about that. He doesn't like that. He talks to you, and he's going to be talking to you a whole lot about laziness. Oh, is he going to hit on that? Laziness. He's going to talk to us about boasting, bragging. He's going to talk to us about how to treat poor people. If you've often wondered, because we don't, nowadays you can't tell who's poor or not. They have to beg on the street, and then they give back. After the day is over, go back and get in a nice car and drive to a nice house. God talks to us about how we're going to treat poor people. He talks to us about how to treat rich people too. Don't be hasty to go eat with them and make a blood diet of yourself at the meal that they have out there. He'll talk to us about every kind of human relationship that you and I can think of. He'll even talk to us about how we treat our pets, you know that? And animals. There's proverbs in the book will tell you how to treat your animal. So we should be able to, before this class is over, to take every proverb. We should be. We may not be able to, but we should be able to take it and put it into our own words. And that's one thing I want us to experiment, or not experiment, but practice in this class as we go through. We'll read the proverb. We'll try to get the gist or get the point that God is making in there. But in order for you to remember it, because there's so many proverbs in here, you're going to have to put it into your own perspective. I'll give you an example. And I think I've repeated this in class. My argument against my brother was very convincing until he had a chance to speak. Now, that's not exactly the way that proverb is written. You will see that when we get to it. I don't want to get into that. I'm not going to jump ahead because we're going to take this class by class. Or a fool is deemed wise until he opens his mouth. The other things, once you put them into your perspective, into your vocabulary, you'll remember those things. And eventually, God's mindset will be absorbed and you'll have his mindset on how we should treat every problem. And red flags will come up when someone retaliates against us. And first thing we want to do is nail them back. Hey, no. I remember this proverb I read that God had. No. Hold your anger. A wise man is one who holds his anger. A fool, will jump into somebody's argument or his own argument. So that's what I hope to do as we get into these, into the daily reading of the scriptures. Now, I'm not planning this morning to get deeply into first chapter in Proverbs. I want us to fully understand as a class. I could ask everybody, and I think everybody did raise their hand when I said who wanted the wisdom. But you got to do more than want it. You really do. You've got to strive for it. You've got to seek it like you would a valuable, very, very valuable object. And God could easily bless us all with wisdom. But just like our found resting place, we got to work for it. We got to earn it. We got to deserve it. We got to do his will to get there. So the only thing he says in the first few chapters of this book, he says, you've got to determine within your mind, I want to do things better in my life. I want to make better decisions in my life than I have made. And if you truly believe that, God's got promises that he'll give you, such as, I'll give you longer life. Proverbs promises that. It'll give you long days. It promises you it'll give you peaceful sleep at nighttime. It promises you'll have a much better relationship with your neighbors. Like you say, who is my neighbor? You know my neighbors. It promises you that if you put his actions into your word, that you'll prosper. And it doesn't mean you'll prosper where you'll become exceedingly rich, and you could. But it does mean that you will prosper. You will not struggle to the extent that you don't know that God's right here beside your side, and I've always got help. He'll always be there to give you that kind of comfort. He covers subjects in here that we might be uncomfortable with. He covers adultery in here. The world right now has said, when we hear people living together, we don't confirm, says, no, you're not living together, you're fornicating. That's uncomfortable. He tells us that we should not have anybody's blood on our hands, but yet we've let them call murdering a baby's abortion. They just changed the word. And now you got crowds of people that support killing the babies. They just changed the word on that abortion. I dare say in the mob that I've seen on TV that were pro-abortion, those people in there, the way they were behaving, if Jesus were to appear among them, they would holler, crucify him. They say, it's my body. It's my body. But it's God's child. That little baby is God's child. Prostitution is in there. Covers it very thoroughly. Most all the sins that you can imagine are covered in Proverbs, and it tells you how to avoid them. The unique thing about Proverbs, particularly in the first part when God is trying to teach us a lesson on it, or the thing we want to learn, he's using wisdom as a live witness. And I think if you remember back, because I think we may have covered this, it's when the foolish young man who had not made a commitment into life of what he was going to do with his life, constantly wandered by a house that he knew a woman of ill repute was in there. And he did it to get her attention. And she's watching because that's what she wanted, an imbecile, a young foolish man to do. So he gives you an eyewitness how that sin just progressed. So, and to me, if God condescends himself down to the point that he's willing to sit down and talk to me through his word about how he feels on everything in my life, and with all the promises he says I'll get if I do those things, if I lead my life that way, I can't help but want that, and to the point that I read Proverbs over and over and over, trying to make sure that I fully understand where it's coming from. And that, I hope that's how we'll approach this class. That we will not only... You could easily say this is a book of sayings, you know, glib sayings. You know, he repeats himself five times. You know, this guy's he got mixed up. But it all has a purpose. It all has a point. Because God knows our mindset is one that he has to get penetrated for us to understand fully his will. So I hope we'll do that. And I hope we'll approach Proverbs that way. Let's get into the very first part of Proverbs here. And we may not get all the way through it because of the fact that I really wanted to be a discussion class. I'm going to put out the proverb to you, and then I'm going to kind of tell you what it means to me. But what we need to do is have an input from everybody, because I can learn from you as well as you can learn from me, and maybe I can learn more from you. And one of the things that God points out in Proverbs is a principle. Seek advice on every decision that you have to make. Now you say, well, some decisions, you know, are so trivial, why should I do that? If you've got a, well, first of all, you got the source of it right here in your hand. So you can seek his advice on how to handle that particular thing. Let me, I'm going to stop right here. Every morning, even at our age, by the way, some of us older, when you wake up, you're going to make decisions. You'll make them all day long. And if you live another 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you're going to make lots of decisions in your life. And we can all make better decisions than what we have been making. The very fact that you reach retirement and say, well, I don't have to worry about work anymore. Well, you've got Social Security, you've got retirement or income, whatever you got. You've got to decide how to spend that. Mm-hmm. If you spend it foolishly, you're not going to have a very good retirement. You know, so you've got decisions to make. So, well, decision time isn't over just because we've reached the age. But I do confess to you, I wish I'd gotten into Proverbs, you know, when I was a young man. But somehow or another, it was just a bunch of good sayings to me when I was a young man. And I didn't sit down to try to fully comprehend what they were all about. All right. But a little background. Proverbs. Solomon wrote over 3,000 of them. Only 500 were recorded. We don't know what happened to the other 2,500. But there's enough in here that God foresees that we can live a good life if we understand them and do them. We don't know what happened to the other 2,500.
How do we know about the others?
We don't know what happened to them.
I mean, how do we know that it worked?
Back in Kings, they listed Solomon, said they said Solomon wrote over about 3,000 of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
It's a scripture in there. Wait a minute, let me find it for you. Hold on. Let me find it for you. Somebody making. Huh?
1 Kings 4:32.
Yeah. Okay, good. So read that if you would. Yeah.
4:32.
I've got that in here, but I don't.
Here we go. Coming right up. And it says, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. And his songs numbered 1,005.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005.
It may be because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines that they didn't include a lot of that other, those other proverbs that Solomon wrote. I don't know why we lost them, but they're not around, but then I put into that. Yeah, you got this little sheet. And one more thing I want you to add on to it, by the way. When you see the word simple, we're not talking about IQ simple. We're talking about a simpleton, not mentally simpleton, but the... He's an opposite of a moral person, and he always he could be considered just a sinner and a rascal. So when you see that in there, just remember he's not talking about an IQ. In fact, nowhere in Proverbs are you going to see IQ. Intelligent quotient mentioned in there that you've got to have a certain IQ to understand what Proverbs is. Wisdom We go over that. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in the way God intended. It has many facets on it that make up the word wisdom. And these facets come down to knowledge. That's any kind of information out there. Instruction. The Hebrew term, word is used in here, particularly in Proverbs, is to chasten or discipline. So when you see instruction, it's not like somebody's giving you a lesson. It's talking about, it's used 26 times in there, is discipline. Prudence takes into account the foresight and forethought of the consequences of what you do or say. Discretion, that's a facet of wisdom, it reflects on what is desirable and appropriate. If you want to correct a brother that's in sin, you don't do it in front of a bunch of people. You take him to the side, you talk to him about his sin. Learning is the ability to execute, practice, or apply. That's the same thing. I think I gave you an example here. You can watch baseball and you can understand, I like baseball and I go to baseball games. You ever played baseball? No. Well, if you haven't played baseball, you really don't know what it's like to catch that ball or run down that field or swing at that. Hear, when you see the word hear, it means obey. Hear what I say. Obey what I say. Sound counsel, that's the true wisdom lies in recognition of Him alone, that's God, that's His book, that's His word that we have before us. Understanding, and that's mentioned lots of times here in Proverbs. In the last analysis, the common ingredient there is plain old horse sense. If you've got God's mindset in within your mind, then you're going to reach a decision that should be plain as day to you. Just common sense thing to you. It's not going to be something that's out there that you can't grasp. It'll be something that you can get hold of. When you see the word chaplet and chains back in those days, to wear one of those chaplets around your head or chain or a gold thing around your neck, that was an honor. That was something the kings wore to show that they were kings, and if they really liked you, they'd give you one. And that was a high honor for a king to give you one of those. It had great significance to them. I want to get into the two words here, because we're going to see both of them being used in here. Picantes, it's a generic designation for sinners. We all fall in that. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. And peccatories is those who sin habitually, willfully, maliciously, and given over entirely to iniquity, and who persuade others to follow their example. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there in this world that have so much sin in their hearts and in their mindset that to them to do it is nothing. I mean, to kill somebody is nothing. To steal is nothing to them. To plot to do harm to somebody is nothing. Okay, let's go back to chapter 1. Let's see if we can get started on here and see how we want to handle this. Of course, it starts off with the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. And always when I get to these words, I say wisdom is putting it all together. Instruction here, right here, says common sense. I always put that in there so I fully understand what he's trying to say here. To receive instruction as discipline. Sometimes God disciplines us, and we got to be able to receive that and accept it. And we know that we need to be instructed, disciplined. In righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. Now remember what it says simple here. That's not simple-minded. That's just to the people who we consider rogues or rascals or sinners. And when you give prudence to them, you're recognizing that. You have the ability to do the
Kind of. That they lacked judgment.
Lack judgment, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lack judgment. All right, let's go. There's nothing in the first verse for us to dissect. We know that And a lot of Proverbs will tell it like it is. You can't do it, say it in the better. Some, in a lot of these Proverbs, and we're just saying to you. I mean, unless they had a 2x4 hit you over here and said, don't you understand? Don't you understand? You can't do that. To receive instructions with wise dealings. To receive corrections. And wise dealings. And righteousness. And justice. And equity. We all know what those three are. That's throughout the Bible. To give prudence, which is said, and substitute your, in your dictionary what prudence means and simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion, that a wise man may hear and increase his learning. We go back to the learning, it's everything that's out there to be done. And that the son and the man of understanding, it's a man of common sense, may obtain unto sound counsel. May obtain through God's word, and through God's people who have built in and shown wisdom in their life, that you go to them and ask them, what do you think of this? How would you handle this? And this is the way when I was going through Proverbs, I tried to put in the words there that I knew that the Hebrew meaning of them was, and it kind of opened the door for me to absorb it, so to speak, you know, so it becomes common knowledge. And that method and repetition, and not only the repetition that Proverbs has within itself, but the repetition of you reading it over and over and over again. I think I told y'all on the first of the month, I started with chapter 1. Today I finished chapter 28. Tomorrow I'll finish 29. 30. Most, well, a lot of the months has 31 days, and so it works out perfect. If it doesn't, I'll double up, you know, on the day or two. But I'll start this thing over again this coming Thursday on chapter 1. Between God's repetition and my repetition, and then trying to understand exactly what where God, the writer, was coming from when he wrote this. I pray that it's sinking in. I pray that. I know I'm not being stupid anymore. I still make foolish mistakes, but I'm not stupid anymore in some of the decisions that I make. At least I don't think of it anymore. Anybody got any thoughts on that? What you want, what we want, how we want to handle this? Yeah, Brian.
Verse 2, obtain wisdom and discipline. You know, as being a supervisor, everybody looks at discipline as a punishment.
I know it.
It is, and I've told them, it's a correction action. It's trying to change those unwise decisions you made and start making wise decisions. Discipline is not a punishment, but it's a correction of what you're doing wrong. You talk about that relationship, which I know Robert talked about. Some supervisors just flat out look at it as a discipline and think they're going to get what they want out of it. It's not. And some employees just look at it as a discipline. You look at it as a correction action. All we're trying to do is correct the unwise decision. The supervisors approach it differently, and the employee takes it differently, because we're just trying to help you correct some bad decisions that you make.
And God will tell you later on in here, when you do that, follow instructions, his instructions, his discipline, a wise man will love it. He'll benefit from it. He'll get wiser. It's that man that resists that thing that gets further away from it. Because you, unless God is able to make us stop and realize what we've done wrong, we just keep on doing wrong, you know. And some of us don't. It's the way we perceive it. And I'm not lying like anybody else. I hated when I was growing up somebody reprimand me. Mm-hmm. I did. But I know it was for my own good, particularly when it came from my parents. I knew it was for my own. Now I realize it was for my own good. And if it's coming from God, you better believe it's on good, because if he doesn't discipline you, he doesn't love you. If you don't accept his discipline, then he has no part of you.
I was just thinking, you know, Solomon, who was a very wise ruler, still had times when he didn't apply that wisdom mm-hmm. to his own life. And so it's like you said, it's we gain the wisdom, but we also have to follow that wisdom. We can't just take it in and then just say, I'm just going to do what I want to, because then the wisdom is not profitable. It's not doing in your life what it's supposed to be doing, because this godly wisdom is supposed to change us. It's supposed to get us in a better relationship with not just our fellow people that we live with, you know, spouses, children, whatever, but also helps us to get into a better relationship with God. Solomon is a perfect example of, if you don't do this, all the wisdom in the world ain't going to help you if you don't follow it.
The two things you're going to learn in this class, responsibilities that you, God now, puts on you, as you get wiser, you need to share your wisdom. I mean, that's a responsibility. The other thing is, you'll never get enough wisdom. You and I will never. It's something going in our life, and it'll keep going on. So it's, we can never say, I got it. You know, I think I can do this thing. It's always, it's more out there.
We know that Solomon was wise. The Bible tells us wise. God told him he was going to make him wise. I don't think it was supernatural that Solomon gained his wisdom. I think Solomon was a man that could learn from his mistakes. I think a lot of his, and maybe, and hopefully, and definitely the mistakes of others.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes, he kind of gets into that mindset Solomon does. If you read Ecclesiastes, you know, he did some stupid things, but I learned from him. You know, he says, "What is it?" You know, he says, "I've strived all my life to attain everything." He says, "What good does it do me? It didn't do me any good." You know? So he did. He reflects on that in Ecclesiastes. But we do know in the very beginning he got it because when he went to God to pray, because he needed help. He didn't know how to be a king.
Right.
But he didn't pray for victories over his enemies. He didn't pray for great riches. And God said, because you didn't do that, mm-hmm. I'm going to grant you wisdom. So he knew. Right. Everybody almost in the world were attracted to Solomon, heard of his reputation. But in the end, yeah.
But then he's boasting of
right.
himself.
And also a definition of discipline, the word itself, is a branch of knowledge. It is a way of life. You know, you have a certain discipline when you, for example, become a nurse. Mm-hmm. You do those things that require you to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. And there are some oaths and things that you take. But there's a certain discipline when you become a Christian. You learn that discipline. It is a way of life. It is how we change ourselves from what we were to something better. Or in this case, the only way we should go is in accordance with God's word. So it's a new discipline. You've got to discipline yourself mentally, spiritually, physically, as Proverbs will mandate and give us direction, that we apply those things and we become a child of God, a Christian, in the way that He wants us to be. Just like a police officer or a nurse, you learn all those things that is required of you, that is mandated by law, required by your office, by tradition, by what have you. You become that. And then, of course, in any of those fields, any of those endeavors, just because you graduate from and you got your nursing degree, are you ever at the top of your game? The answer is no. There's so much more to learn, to relearn, in some case, improve, et cetera. So it's a discipline. It's a, quote, unquote, a way of life. And also, too, like in the military, that we use discipline to punish in order to correct.
Correct.
To correct this, this something that needed to be changed. You'd be surprised how many people do not have an appreciation of their left hand versus their right hand. Yeah. And when you're marching, you need to know you're doing the left flank, right flank. You need to do, and that's simple. That's just simply simple. So some of the disciplines that we would use is, okay, you're going to carry a rock in your left hand until you understand what we're saying. Mm-hmm.
If you look at all the facets of wisdom, discipline is probably the ruination of this country and many other countries. We are an undisciplined people. We haven't brought our children up right. We haven't transferred God's word to them as we were supposed to, like they did in the old days. The word of God was transferred to their kids. We've got children so disrespectful that they even kill their own parents. We are an undisciplined country, undisciplined world, to be honest with you. And all the facets in there of having wisdom, we lack that. We're not disciplined. We're not disciplined to striving to want something of God so badly that we'll forsake worldly things for it. We try to blend them in, or we'll give God a little bit here and we'll do that.
Even Christ says you have to love me more.
More.
More than your own family. Right. You have to.
Turn your back.
Because what he's done for us, your family member cannot ever, ever do. Right. For you.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be a dreary class. I want you to know that. In fact, there's more optimism in Proverbs than you'll find in any other book in the Bible. It's great hope for us if we can just get God's mindset into our mindset and replace some of the bad stuff that we've got in there. And the older you get, the more bad stuff you get in there, so the more you got to get out. But it sure helps if you were a younger person and made good, wise decisions. Jerry, just like Jerry runs a Napa place by the head, and y'all didn't know that. He has employees that are working under him. There's a way of handling those employees in there, and they'll respect Jerry like he was a king. And then there's a way of having those employees, they'll disrespect him, and then the whole place goes to pot, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of learning what God intended for you, the way you to be and to interact with them and the way they interact with you. Okay, we're running out of time. Does anybody have any thoughts of the method of where we're going to be going from here? We're going to take these one by one, and they'll be repeated over and over again. And I encourage you to get into it. With Thursday starts June 1st, keep reading. You get ahead of the class, by the way, but by the time we get through this class, you'll be read Proverbs about 6-7 times, which isn't bad. Which isn't bad. Thank you all for the class this morning.
Oh, Danny, one question?
Yeah.
What version of the Bible are you reading?
The English Standard Version. Uh huh.